Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. We're delighted to have you on board today. Looking forward to a great dialogue and discussion. We're going to be talking about, should Christians celebrate Halloween? Should Christians participate in Halloween? Should Christians or churches be involved in Halloween? That's a very profound question or questions. Pray that you'd be pondering those questions for the next few moments as we talk about that subject today. And as we do each and every day on this broadcast, we face the issues based on the authority of Scripture. May I remind us, you can join in this dialogue and discussion at any time during the course of this broadcast by dialing 831-0917, 831-0917. That telephone call gets your call directly through to the studios and right to our microphone so that we can entertain your question or comment. We'd love to hear from you today. If you're a parent that participates in Halloween, I want you to call. You don't have to give your name. I want you to call us. Tell us why you do, if you think it is right or wrong, if you believe it's biblical. In fact, I've got a little pamphlet that I published, had the privilege of writing and publishing back in 1996. Title of the little pamphlet is Boo or Bogus, A Biblical Response to the Celebration of Halloween. Should Christians Celebrate Halloween is the subtitle of it. It's just a little small five or six fold booklet, a little in a large track that I put out a number of years ago because I'm passionate about that subject. But ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, let me remind you, we do so based on the authority of Scripture, and it's based on the Word of God, which is truth. Truth should be the final authority for any of us with any issue that we're faced with. Jesus said to his disciples, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. That was the statement Jesus made to his disciples in John 8:31 and 32. Then in John 14:6, Jesus said, I am truth. Jesus identifies himself as God, as truth. How do we know that? Because in John 17:17, Jesus said, thy word is truth. Let me just tuck this little thought in. If you believe that just the red letter edition is the only thing that Jesus said, keep in mind if Jesus is God, and he is, and if the Bible is the Word of God, and it is, then every word in the Bible is from the Lord Jesus Christ. I understand it was not necessarily every word that was spoken by Jesus while he was in his humanity on earth, but it is from Jesus, and Jesus is God. And one of the things we need to understand is when we face issues, we need to do so based on the authority of Scripture, the truth. In fact, in Zechariah 8:6, the Bible says, speak every man truth to his neighbor. And I believe there's not a greater thing that we can do one for another is to speak truth. Some do not want to hear truth. In fact, it was George Orwell that said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And we find ourselves in that era today where there's a diminishing of truth. There's a absolute disregard for truth and a disobedience to the truth of the Word of God more than anything else I have seen. You can watch that in Washington, ladies and gentlemen. Any day, 5 days a week, you'll find it. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries equipment for the homeowner, brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time also carries a full array of lawn and garden equipment and the hurricane preparedness equipment with a full line of Honda generators with a knowledgeable staff to answer all your questions about backup power equipment. Tools for Time, located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, Tools for Time. It's located right where the giant flagpole is located, right at the intersection of I-295 and Old San Augustine Road. Look up, see that flag flowing, Old Glory flowing in there 24/7. And that's the location of Tools for Time. ToolsforTime.com. ToolsforTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, the nation will celebrate a day called Halloween on October the 31st. It's been about 2,000 years now since the roots of that Halloween, or the holiday called Halloween. There'll be trick-or-treating, ghost of goblins, outfits. The merchants and all of the merchants and the manufacturers of the costumes and the candy will make millions of dollars of in profits. In fact, every year our children are coached by television, by teachers in our schools, and by parents to participate in this time of fright and so-called fun. We're told that the popularity of Halloween is growing exponentially each year. In fact, one article I read said Americans will spend this year about $9 billion. In fact, it really said over $9 billion on candy, costumes, making Halloween one of the America's top commercial holidays. Hear me? Halloween, one of the top commercial holidays in America. Over $9 billion will be spent out of parents' pockets this year for costumes and for candy and for all that goes with it. I call it the ghost and the goblins. Annually, hundreds of children and adults, ladies and gentlemen, are injured. Some even die from the injuries in traffic accidents from trick-or-treating. That is where kids from toddlers up through preteens and teens are out crisscrossing the streets at nighttime, many times not properly illuminated so that the drivers of the automobiles can see them. Multitudes each year are hit by cars, some hit and run, some where the adult or the child dies as a result of it. But ladies and gentlemen, beyond the traffic accidents and the traffic dangers, there are dangers of children being exposed to drug-laden candy or other dangers that have been, and articles that have been embedded in the candies and the gums that's been passed out. In fact, they've been known to be found in candy distributed to our children, our sons and daughters. Hear me, parents. As you think that it's a time of glee, you encourage your child to participate. You dress them up. You spend the money. In fact, it is an odd thing that I find, and we'll talk about it in this broadcast. We welcome your call, ladies and gentlemen, 831-0917. If you've got a question about it, you've got a comment, you've got a differing opinion, I'd love to hear from you. This is the time to have your voice heard. But this candy distributed to the children while trick-or-treating, many times in the modern era in particular, laced with articles that could choke or kill your child, or with marijuana or other harmful drugs that's been laced into it by those that want to see the results in harming. It appears, ladies and gentlemen, that if not most of our parents, if not just many of them, but most of them, are enablers and encouragers for our children from toddlers to teens, preteens and teens to participate in the Halloween process. It's the parents, it's the teachers, promulgated by television and the manufacturers and the merchants of the candy products and the costume products that make it look so gleeful, make it look so wonderful. But the question is, we're going to get to this bottom line. The basic part of my monologue is to build to the point of asking the question. And we'll eventually go on to ask you the question, ask the question to our listeners. Is it right? Is it biblical? Is it a Christian's opportunity to participate in this thing called Halloween? I believe we have a caller on the line. Go with your question and comment, please. Hello?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Go ahead.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I agree with you, Dr. Youngblood, and Halloween is satanic and demonic, at the very least, fleshly. But I'm sure you're aware of this. Maybe some of your listeners are. That the days of the week we have, Monday through Sunday, are named after either Greek or Roman gods, satanic, and the months as well, Greek or Roman gods. I can't remember which. And even the Hebrew calendar, the months, believe it or not, are from the Babylonian language. Their gods. what sayeth ye about those?
That's a great question. I say this, I don't know what you're going to call it. If we just call it, rather than naming the days of the week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, we just call it day one, day two, day three. Jesus, God called it day one, day two, day three, et cetera.
And that's the way Genesis the Hebrews do it that way too. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and then the Shabbat, Sabbath.
Yes. What you're saying is a very poignant point, well made. What you're saying also brings to mind, we're not worshiping those days. We're not worshiping the name and the background from it. That's what's happening, by the way, when it comes to Halloween, as you know, and we'll talk about it in a moment as far as the origins of that. And it goes back to some of the popes in history past of making it canon law in the Catholic Church to follow some of the holidays set up by the Druids, but we'll talk about that. But yes, you're exactly right. Perhaps others have thoughts or comments on that. But one of the bottom lines is, and I'll just reveal the secret now, I'm adamantly opposed to the celebration of things like Easter, where you have an Easter bunny hopping around, or you have little chicklets with eggs on the ground, and you paint those eggs in different colors, and you call that Easter. Then you have a holiday, a unholy day, I should call it, named Halloween, that we are going to promote and promulgate the dressing up as witches and goblins and ghosts and demons and dress the house up in that fashion and expose our kids to the, in fact, the witches in America and around the globe say this is the celebration of Halloween is their greatest day, their greatest night, their greatest opportunity for recruitment. And it's a demonic thing. So you're exactly right. We need to be very careful, especially as Christians.
Yeah. And it's interesting you brought up Ishtar or Easter. It's a mistranslation from Pesach or Passover. The early church fathers tried to uncircumcise the Hebraic phrases. So, but I always like to say in a frivolous manner, the bunnies are okay if they're male and they're circumcised.
That takes it back
Thank
to,
you, Dr.
That'll
Youngblood.
That'll take it back to its Orthodox roots, wouldn't it? Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking.
I'm going to hop off the air now.
Hop off the air. Do that. Thank you so much for your call and your insight on that question. I believe we have another caller on the line. Go over the question and comment, please.
Yes. Good morning, Pastor. Your previous caller set up what I'd like to say as concise as I can, though it may run a couple of minutes, and that is this. The issue of Halloween is, more than anything else for me, the single greatest metaphor for what is killing America. There is, in Memphis, Tennessee, a pyramid that is a building that was built by, I think, Bass Pro Shops. And it's a wonderful piece of architecture. It looks neat. But looking at it the other day, I realized, you know, there is a symbol for what's wrong with America. We make a god out of culture. And I don't think there's any better representative of culture than what the Egyptians built thousands of years ago as a symbol to the power and the everlasting name of the pharaohs that built those particular items in Egypt. We make a god out of culture. Now, here's what I mean and why it applies to Halloween. A great conundrum in history is October 31st, 1517. That is when the Reformation began. That is when the door of the Church of Wittenberg received 95 treatises by Martin Luther. The good part of that was that Habakkuk 2:4 and Romans 1:17 were unleashed to intractably change the world and produce the world that we live in today in America. The bad part of that was a particular idea that was implanted, and that is that the church replaced the Jewish people in history, that is also responsible for the terrible confusion we see in our church today, in the world today. And I think it's one of the reasons that people rather mindlessly accept what Halloween really is, a horrible pagan festival. I find it interesting that what happened on October 31st, 1517, is actually linked to our routine celebration of witches and demons and disembodied souls walking around. I think that's called necromancy, but whatever it is, Halloween is a single symbol of how we in American culture, because we worship culture rather than God, are accepting something that is patently evil. The comment that the man made before you, the gentleman spoke of before, the gods being wrapped up, Saturn and Mars and the others being involved in the naming of the weeks, is indicative of what God talked about in the, I believe it's the 13th chapter of Matthew, the wheat growing up with the tares. It's in our culture. The wheat is there with the tares, or the measure of leaven that was placed in the three measures of meal by the woman, which is a clear indication of things that are bad that were placed into something that's good, i.e. bread, but it causes a change. So here is the point. When we participate in Halloween and when we mindlessly participate in other things that are equally evil, and I would say when we go to movies produced by Hollywood, which is run by the spirit of Satan, when we vote Democrat, when we participate in anything that empowers the evil side, then we're wrong. In October 31st, 1517, a great conundrum, something very good happened. We learned that the just shall, in fact, live by faith, and the history of the world changed. But we also learned another thing that is desperately wrong, and I believe comes from the dark side, and confuses us in the time that we live in. We don't recognize that the Lord is about to return and return soon. The message of Christ when he was on this earth, as well as John the Baptist, was repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. We need to be preaching that same message today. We need to push aside, if we're Christians, all these other celebrations and these preoccupations we have with culture, and we need to embrace the culture of Christ. And the culture of Christ is what results when we abide by John 14:15, which says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Every Christian will say, well, I love the Lord Jesus Christ. I love God. I follow that commandment, the Shema of Israel, to love God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. But yet, the way we worship culture, the things that we embrace in our culture, indicate that our hearts are far from him, and he's tired of these things. He wants us to look to him, and until we cast aside these pyramids in our lives that are testimonies to us and to our culture, we're never going to progress. I agree with you that Halloween is a wicked and evil time, the celebration of Ishtar with the spring festivals and the symbols of the egg that she had and that's crept in for a number of explainable reasons through the church in the past. These are just patent symbols of the wheat and the tares that are with us. Yes. We need to reject the tares and be the wheat. And that's the end of the conversation. Thank you for allowing me to have my say.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for the input on that. You're exactly right. What we're finding, and I think I could summarize in a nutshell what you have just said, if I may, and that is that we are more prone, even as Christians, to follow culture and what culture does than the concepts of the Word of God. And I believe it's time Christians get back to the Word of God and not follow culture and the concepts of the culture, but what the Word of God says. But ladies and gentlemen, the question begs to be asked and answered then, just what is Halloween? What is the origin of Halloween? Should Christians and churches be involved in Halloween? Should Christian parents allow or encourage our children to participate in Halloween? In Halloween celebration, a Halloween celebration, listen very carefully, is rooted thoroughly and totally and completely in paganism and the occult. In fact, we can go back in history, traces back the ancient Druids, a religion of evil, that Rome forbade the practice even. It was so wicked and evil. The Druids honored the Shaman, the Lord of the Dead. In fact, the Lord of the Dead, there was no Druid god, was more, thought to be more powerful or any more feared than the Lord Shaman. Halloween took on aspects of darkness and black color, evil spirits, and the dead roaming around on the earth in the night, that we call Halloween today. Ladies and gentlemen, It was the time when the Shaman supposedly called together all of the wicked souls that had died within the past 12 months of that year. And they had been condemned, and they were going to inhabit the bodies of the dead animals. And it was a night of ghosts and fairies, and bonfires were built, and the fortune tellers and the forth tellers and the witches rode through the skies, called the Festival of Shaman, the Lord of the Dead. Shaman was nothing more than a demon, ladies and gentlemen. The Druids believed that on the on this particular night, that is the night of Halloween that we that so many celebrate today, that on this particular night, the souls of the dead would return to homes to be entertained by the living, and food was to be left for them, to be provided for them. And if there was no evil, if they were not evil spirits, that is demons, they would cast spells and cause terror and havoc and torment on the living. This is the reason food and gifts by the living were treats for the evil spirits. And if there were no treats, and then there would be tricks performed, if you will, by the demons against the living at the time. But listen, all of that was bad enough. But then in Gregory the Third and Gregory the Fourth, in about A.D. 834, Pope Gregory the Fourth then, because Gregory the Third had instituted it, then Pope Gregory the Fourth made it Catholic law to accommodate the pagan believers, this pagan influence, by establishing a festival to honor the dead. The night before All Saints' Day became known as Satan's Night, when evil spirits were released. Black cats, jack-o'-lanterns, bonfires, witches, etc., etc. All pagan occult practices and beliefs are involved in this practice called Halloween. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, here's an article, and I'll just read you what this particular writer had to say, if you will allow me to. By the way, you can call 831-0917, 831-0917. Here's an article that says, "The History of Halloween. The origin of Halloween, as we know, as we have known it, began over 1900 years ago in England, Ireland, and northern France. It was a Celtic celebration of every new year called Shaman, which occurred on November the 1st. The Celtic Druids revered it as the biggest holiday of the year and emphasized that day as the time when the souls of the dead supposedly could mingle with the living. Bonfires were a large aspect of this holiday as well. Shaman remained popular until St. Patrick and other Christian missionaries arrived in the area. As the population began to convert to Christianity, the holiday began to lose its popularity." Let me pause there, ladies and gentlemen. Notice there, Shaman remained popular until St. Patrick and other Christian missionaries arrived in this area. As the population began to convert to Christianity, the holiday began to lose its popularity. We're finding the reverse taking place in America today. Christianity is declining. There is a great apostasy, the falling away. And as Christianity declines, we will find the popularity of holidays like Halloween increasing exponentially, I say. This article continues, says, "However, instead of eradicating pagan practices such as Halloween or Shaman, the church instead used these holidays with Christian twists to bring paganism and Christianity together, making it easier for local populations to convert to the state religion of that era," this article says, ladies and gentlemen. Another tradition is that the Druidic belief that during the night of November 1st, demons, witches, and evil spirits freely roamed the earth with joy to greet the arrival of their season, the long nights of early dark and winter months. The demons had their fun with poor mortals that night, frightening, harming, and even playing all kinds of mean tricks on them. The only way it seemed for sacred humans to escape the persecution of the demons was to offer them things that they liked, especially fancy foods and sweets. Or in order to escape the fury of these horrible creatures, a human could disguise himself as one of them and join in the roaming. In this way, they would recognize the human as a demon or witch, and the human would not be bothered by that night. Ladies and gentlemen, I could go on and on. The writer of that particular article was on target completely. Just thought I would give you a little sampling of what others are saying, and not just coming from what I am saying, but and from my research, but what others are saying. I've preached against, I've taught against, I've railed, if you please, against Christians and churches celebrating the Halloween season, where churches, even churches, will display ghosts and goblins and skeletal things, where churches will have gigantic things out on the lawn where they're selling for people to pick up and to carve out and make the jack-o'-lanterns. I'm talking about pumpkins. In fact, a number of years ago, we had the academy, and one of the kids in the classroom, I believe early grade, younger grades, kindergarten or above, asked what church do you go to, and he says, I go to the pumpkin church. And he's talking about a church where they, every year, the whole month, they put the whole grounds covered with pumpkins, and they sell pumpkins, promulgating and pushing the celebration of Halloween. Ladies and gentlemen, I find it absolutely antithetical to anything that's called biblical truth to participate in that. It is where Halloween glorifies pagans and the occult, witches and the demons. And I believe demonic activities are greater and greatly increased during this time of Halloween more than any other season of the year. I believe that it is absolutely antithetical to anything that's called biblical truth when an individual, a church, or a Christian parent will participate in it. Perhaps I'm stepping on your toes. I pray that I am. Perhaps this broadcast today, moms and dads in particular, will cause you to listen up, to investigate, to determine, what are you doing to your child when you buy it? In fact, there are many moms that will compete by seeing who can have the most ghoulish Halloween outfit for your child. Even parents now are having Halloween parties and dressing up as the ghouls and the ghosts and the goblins and promulgating that. It is an indication in society, ladies and gentlemen, that we are losing it spiritually speaking, that we are in a decline morally, ethically, and spiritually in America when we see the increased emphasis on Halloween and the promulgation of that. And it's discovered each year, ladies and gentlemen, when we understand the greater and greater number amount of dollars that's being spent. As I shared earlier, over $9 billion will be spent this year on the purchase of candies and costumes and all of the regalia that they're putting out for this celebration. I find it absolutely unholy to drive down a street and to see entire yards dressed up with ghosts and goblins and spider webs and skeletal beings out hanging on trees, et cetera, et cetera. And yet, multitudes of those, ladies and gentlemen, are done by Christian parents and by Christian homeowners. Here's an article that I think gives a little clarity to that thought. This article says, thousands of witches to cast massive spells on Trump and his supporters. Listen very carefully. At 1 minute before the stroke of midnight Eastern time on October the 25th, thousands of self-identified witches plan to simultaneously conduct a ritual meant to bind President Trump and all those who abet him. The practitioners explained that unlike a curse or a hex on a spell binding, it's not meant to cause harm. Rather, witches hope to prevent President Trump from doing harm to the United States by his actions. And so they actually believe that they're going to do something very positive for the country. But a closer examination revealed some of these disturbing details. As the witches are instructed to call on demons of the infernal realms for the helping in binding President Trump and his allies, with props that indicate the include an unflattering photo of Trump, tarot cards, a stub of an angel or orange candle, a pen, and a feather, and participants will call on the heavenly host and demons of the infernal realm and spirits of the ancestors to bind Trump so that his malignant works may fail utterly. Many people may laugh at these antics, but it is only because they have not never had a personal encounter with the powers of darkness, according to this writer. We believe in the word, the world where the supernatural is commonplace and the powers of darkness are very, very real, that particular writer says. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the season of the witches and the demons and the demonic spirits to have free flow in our nation. We're going to take about a one-minute break for the top of the hour news. Don't you turn that dial. Hang in there. Come back in about a minute as we continue our understanding today and thought and conversation about should Christians participate in Halloween.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.